Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you again this morning. We've been challenged and charged, hopefully changed by what we already heard. Turn with me for some opening thoughts to Numbers 13. I was going to end on this and decided to explain my title a little bit here in the beginning. Numbers 13 and verse 23, we have here the 12 spies going out and searching the land of Canaan. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Now, you boys like big things, I should say we boys. You think about a cluster of grapes that's that big. It's pretty big. I don't know if it was 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 50 pounds. I'm not sure what it was. But it says one cluster, and they bear it between two on a staff. And then it goes on and it says that the place was called the brook Eshcol. And to us, that doesn't really mean a lot, but the grapes. The grapes. That's what it was called, because this amazing cluster of grapes. I'd like to speak this morning on fruitful branches. And let's go to John 15. I want to spend most of our time there this morning as we think about being fruitful. Appreciated much the Sunday school and the challenges there. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Stop reading there. We like pictures, and we like word pictures. It helps us to understand spiritual things, and Jesus knew that. And here he gives us the picture of the vine. Now, not a lot of us have vines. I don't. Many of you don't. Some of you do. But we understand, at least in part, some things about vines, about grapes, that declare God's relationship with us. And I think that is so beautiful. As you think about God as the sovereign husbandman, and Jesus, and God and Jesus' relationship is pictured here, and it's very interesting. Jesus is deity. He is God. And yet, somehow he is lowered. Scripture tells us that he is lowered. He came down. And that relationship of Jesus being lowered so that he could connect with us is pictured here. Jesus being lowered, he is not in charge. He is not in control in the sense that he is the vine. He is underneath God. And the scripture tells us that because he did that, because he came down and lowered himself, God has raised him far above all principalities and powers. And we don't understand all that relationship and how it all works exactly, but we get a little glimpse of it here as we think of God being the gardener or the vine dresser, and Jesus being lowered to the point of connecting and becoming human so that he could connect with us. And then we have this working together, God and Jesus. I like the word synergy. It's a complete unity, a complete working together that God and Jesus have. Complete working relationship. There's no wrinkles. There's no disgruntled feelings because Jesus is under God and yet he has all authority. There's none of that. It's a perfect relationship. And then we have the true vine and us being connected with that. And isn't it a wonder? Isn't it a... We humans fight and fuss. We're always having scraps. And yet Jesus comes down and he connects with us to try to help us with our sin problem. It's a beautiful thing. It's a great mercy of God that he is willing to work with us, that he is willing to connect with us in that way. You think about the great mercy of God and just ponder that. We could spend a lot of time on that just this morning. And not only that he did that once, but that he continues to come again and again and just keep working with us and our humanity and our stubbornness and all our problems. It's a wonder. It's a marvel. I'd like you to notice that fruit bearing is of utmost importance when it comes to us. When it comes to you and me, if we're to be connected, if we're to be a part, if we're going to be in God's plan, fruit bearing is of utmost importance. Notice what it says. Every branch. That's after laying out who's what in this example of the vine, he says, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. That's it. If there's no fruit, if there's nothing there, it's cut off. And we know, at least we have a head knowledge, that for us, for our peace, for our well-being permanently, we must be connected to God. We have that head knowledge. We know that. But this is what he says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. So an important question is, what is fruit bearing? Why? What is fruit? Is fruit people? So the more people we get to come in the doors and the more people that sit in here, that's a sign of fruit. Is fruit people? It's just a question. Is he talking about the fruit of the Spirit? Is he talking about Christ's life being manifest? Is that what he's talking about? I'm not necessarily sure I have all the answers about this. I've been pondering and praying about this for quite a while and trying to understand what does it mean when he says to bear fruit, because to me, fruit bearing is so important. I don't want to be taken away. I want to bear fruit. But what is fruit? I think we have to know. We should know. There's a couple of clues here, I think, that kind of help to define what fruit is. The first one is in verse 2 there. He talks about pruning. And pruning brings forth much fruit. Pruning precedes much fruit. So that's a clue, I think. Another one is in verses 4 and 5 there. It talks about abiding. If you're going to bear fruit, you're going to have to abide. Abide in Christ. You're going to have to stay connected. You're going to have to be a part. Another clue is in verse 8. Much fruit brings glory to God. The Father is glorified by much fruit. Not just a grape here and a grape there. That doesn't pass. That's not fruit bearing. Much fruit glorifies the Father. We just talked about abiding in verse 4 and 5 is important or is a part or is it connected to fruit bearing. In verse 16, he says, going is a part, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Fruit bearing and going are synonymous. Also in verse 16, about the fruit, describing the fruit, it's not temporary, that your fruit should remain. We're not talking about just temporal things. We're not talking about fixing the toy for Sonny. And yet, those things have connections beyond the here and now. We're talking about permanent things. The toy is going to break before too long. We're not going to have it for very long. By the time he's 10 or 12, it'll be at Sunshine Disposal. But we're talking about things that are permanent. It seems to me that we live in a time that there's a lot of Christians that are satisfied just to sit and name the name of Christ. I'm a Christian. Wear a t-shirt that says, I love Jesus, or whatever. And never really be concerned or never come to the point in our lives where it's an all-consuming desire that we bear fruit. We just go through life. And to me, this thought here, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's a very... We should seek to bear fruit with all our heart. Just, that ought to be our single pursuit. We need a healthy fear of being cut off. And I say that because of the next part. Pruning hurts. Pruning is having things cut off. You know, I remember one particular vine that I used to prune every year. It was a very healthy vine. And the thing would grow. I mean, we'd have 10, maybe 15 feet of new growth in a summer. Just these long trailing vines going way out. And then we'd come, usually we did it in the fall, and we'd come along and just snip that thing back to a couple inches from the vine. Just take all 15 feet off. Throw it away. And as God does that to us, sometimes we can feel like, well, God, what are you doing? Isn't this thing? Isn't this your work? Isn't this a product of you and your life flowing through me, that we have this program or we have this thing that we're doing? And God comes along and snips it off, and we say, well, what are you doing? We need to be earnest about fruit bearing. One more thing before we leave this thought here of being cut off. And that is in verse 6, it says that men gather them. You know, there was Christians. There are Christians today that are killed, that are persecuted. And men, in a sense, gather them and cast them into the fire, if you will. But that is not what he's talking about here. Those people that are victorious in persecution, the men that gather them have no power over their souls. He's talking about something that's more, it's more than the external. But I'd like you to think about a little bit that sometimes we fall victims to men. And it's often the cause, there's bitterness. We're bitter at all kinds of things, maybe. And we become victims of people. Men gather them. But those martyrs that were burned the people that burned them had no power over their souls. They had nothing. They could not take away the hope that was within them. Pruning. God prunes us. And pruning and pain go together. We know that intuitively, that God brings pain on our lives, cuts things out, takes people away. It's painful. There's two ways, probably, that we are pruned. The one here, he says, you are clean through the word. That means you're purged, you're pruned through the word. And the word has a definite effect on our lives, and it should have a definite effect on our lives. It changes us. The word is powerful. But God goes farther than just words. He does things physically to us. He takes things. He touches things. There's another part of pruning. I don't have experience with this, but I'm told it's not really pruning. It's more like beating. Bruising. Some people take a chain and beat the branches. And the purpose of that bruising is to bring forth fruit. It is, I don't know this, like I said, from personal experience, but sometimes you'll have a vine or a type of grape that won't bring forth fruit unless it's beat, bruised. And that's kind of the way some of us are. We don't bring forth fruit unless we're beat, unless we're bruised. And again, I'm thankful that there's the sovereign husbandman, the one that knows perfectly what you and I need, so that we might not be cut off. I'd like to talk a little bit about abiding. It mentions this numerous times in relation to different things. Abide. Abide. Abide in me. My words abide in you. Abide. What is he talking about? What is abiding? We know that we have a lot of problems straying, and maybe that's the reason that God says to abide, that Jesus says to abide in me. We have the tendency to go away from God, and so we need this reminder to abide. Sometimes we're victorious, and it's by the power, by being connected to Christ, that we're victorious in any scenario. And right after we're victorious, then we suddenly fall into pride, just as though we had something to do with it, do with the victory. And there's the constant need for abiding. You and I need to abide. In verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." That's how you're going to be my disciple, is by abiding, by bearing much fruit, by staying there. I don't care how effective any teacher, preacher, or whatever. If at any point we stop abiding, we stop pulling, we stop drawing the necessary nutrients from the true vine, at any point we stop, we are not abiding anymore, and we stop bearing fruit. The fruit stays good for a little bit, because it's permanent fruit. It's God's fruit. But the branch withers. Abiding and obedience have a lot to do with each other. Abiding and having this love relationship with Jesus is very connected. We need to be obedient to abide. I'd like to look at another thing here. In chapter 14, if you would, just look at a couple of verses there. Verse 13. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And in 15, verse 7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Chapter 16, verses 23 to 27, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. What is this that he's talking about to ask? What are we to ask? And isn't this kind of an open-ended promise? Ask and anything. One of the products, or one of, I'm not sure if it's a product or if it's a part of the fruit. It's kind of hard for us to define exactly. But prayer. It's part of abiding. It's part of us being connected to the vine. But prayer is so important. And many people ask, well, what should I pray for? Doesn't really seem to be a lot of things to pray for. I don't have a burden to pray. I think you could start with that. You could start by praying for a burden to pray. There's all kinds of things to pray for. You could pray for me. Sometimes we look on other people and we just think that they go along, life goes along real smooth, and there's no issues or there's no problems, or they just seem to go along without needing a lot of prayer. But I need prayer. This week was a real struggle for me for some reason. I don't know exactly what it was. It felt like Satan was trying to get me. I need prayer. Others need prayer. I'm sure Clayton needs prayer. I'm sure you know of people that need prayer. But part of being fruitful in the kingdom of God is prayer. Praying for others. And that's probably stating it mildly. Praying for others in the church. You might be tempted to gossip about somebody. Pray for them instead. Those that pray don't have as much to say. Prayer does something else. I'd just like to focus on this a little bit. Prayer is a weight. We talk about the burden of prayer. And when you bear fruit, when a branch is bearing fruit, there's weight hanging on it. And prayer is a part of that weight. It's not all of it, but there's a weight there. And sometimes we get tired of bearing that weight. We get tired of holding it up. And we stop praying, and our fruit falls to the ground, maybe. But there's a weight to prayer. And we need to cultivate that. We need to be willing to bear that weight. That's part of fruit bearing. There's another part here that I think is very important. And that is our love to others. We're talking about that in our Sunday school. It's all intertwined. All this whole passage, everything is connected so beautifully to the other thoughts. But our love to others. This day and age, I mean, it's so popular for divorce. We almost don't even blink at it anymore. It almost seems like it's the thing to do. our love to others, and how those relationships at home are sometimes they're the hardest ones to maintain and keep up. But love for our wife, our love for our children, not just love for a brother. It talks about laying down our life and maybe in a sense it would be easier to just lay down our life, just die for somebody. But you know, we are called to be a living sacrifice. And we give an inch of our life day by day. And sometimes that's wearing and we get tired of that. We get tired of giving up. We get tired of laying down our right. But that is a very basic, very big part of fruit bearing, is laying down our life for our brother. It's not attractive to us, but it is to God. That fruit of submission, of love for another. And all this happens, I think this is interesting here, that we don't just love each other with a undiscerning love. We don't just love them and into the kingdom of God, not necessarily. But intertwined with this love is obedience, and that is so important. Our obedience one to another. And our relationship to each other. Obedience to Jesus. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And as you think about that, we husbands are called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We've got a long ways to go. I've got a long ways to go as Christ loved the church. And this here is talking about that you love each other like I've loved you. There's just a long ways that we have to go. But all this is done, all this love is so much more than we can talk about in a few minutes, but it has the eternal in view. It's not just about here and now, but it's the whole eternal scope of things is in view. And we've talked about it. Number of different things, and in a sense we focused on fruit bearing this morning, and I there's a very real sense in which you and I should not focus on fruit bearing, because we tend to put on some plastic fruit. We know what we should look like. We know what we should do. And we know what a Christian looks like. And so we have this tendency to put on the fruit. And it's generic. It's not real. It looks good for a while, but it doesn't taste good. And I think we need to be careful that we don't focus too much on the fruit. But yet, in a real sense, we ought to be concerned about our fruit bearing. How are we doing? Are we glorifying the Father? Could our church be called Eshcol? Shall we pray?